Thank you, everybody. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. I appreciate the opportunity, any chance I get to preach the gospel. It is what God has, I believe, called all of us to do in our own way. So if this is your first time joining us in person or live online, we would just like to welcome you home. I hope you have all had a blessed week this week, and it's so nice to see all your smiles out there this morning. As you know, friends, our series for the month of April was focused on going after the one, the lost, the ones that are left behind. Well, that focus actually kind of rolled into the month of June as we were able to go out as followers of Christ, and we were able to meet at Victoria Park last Sunday. We were there and we prayed for the city, we prayed for the country, we prayed for the lost, and we prayed for the broken. It was amazing to see the love for our city gathered in the park. And on Thursday, actually, Jonathan continued with that momentum and was able to go out with his street evangelizing team and preach the gospel, the team for the 100,000 harvest. It's amazing what they're doing on the streets. They go out every Thursday night, pretty sure every Thursday night. You were saying, you guys, if you have a heart to serve, I encourage you to meet up with Jonathan, talk to him, and get involved in this. Just the amount of people that are coming to Christ and seeing that movement is amazing. And yesterday, I think we got some photos. We were able to continue on with that momentum, and we were able to go on our Serve Saturday and actually meet the needs of those living on the streets. As you see, we had quite a few people join us. We had some ladies that came from Christ-like church. We met them the other Friday when we did worship, some of the girls from, I think it's Wildfire. What an awesome time it was. We had some family members here from the church as well. That helped, and we were able to make actually 130 sandwiches. We had 3 cases of water, 3 cases of Gatorade, a whole bunch of snacks, and so we all hit the streets. We just want to thank everybody who helped, who donated, everybody who helped make sandwiches, everybody who came on the streets with us, and who actually prayed for us during these moments, because on the streets, you see there Jonathan teaching the three circles there. As we talk and encounter with people on the streets, there's a lot of drug issues, a lot of mental health problems. So we always need prayer, spiritual guidance in what to say and just in how to love everybody in their situations. But it was an awesome time, and we just want to thank everybody that was involved. If we could just get a round of applause to show the practical needs. I tell you, this is the most practical way of reaching out to the lost and the broken and to show the love of Jesus Christ by being his hands and feet. I spoke about this the other time when I was up here. When I was hungry, you fed me, Jesus said. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. And when I was naked, you clothed me. I tell you, what an awesome church we have here at KWCF. I was telling my wife the other day, different ways to reach out and to serve our community, from those that go out to serve at the kitchen of Ray of Hope once a month and feeding the homeless, those that serve on the chapel team. We have those that I said go out every Thursday with Jonathan to evangelize the gospel. Saturdays, we're going to be going out once every month or so to feed the homeless. This is a church that is worth being a part of and to help grow, and it's amazing. I'm excited to have our family to be a part of such a wonderful church, and I thank you guys all for allowing us and accepting us to come back into this house. Thank you. What a beautiful time and warmth that we feel here. Amen. Why don't we take this opportunity and just pray for the message and for our church. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy, Lord. And today we want to lift up this church. We ask, Lord, that you make KWCF a powerful beacon, a light to this city, to this community, God. We ask that you move within this congregation, that you set a fire within us, Lord, that we want to serve you, whatever way that is and whatever means that you put in our hearts, Lord. We pray that you help us. We pray now that you speak through me, Lord, that your message comes out, that it's not about who stands up here, but what you did on the cross, Lord. We thank you for that. And we ask that you continue to move within the service, your presence to be felt here today. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. 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 So what a beautiful week it has been, this warm weather. I know it's been a little bit smoky out there with the fires. Anyone that has a little bit of breathing problems like me, it's been a rough couple weeks. But other than that, it's been warm, it's been nice, it's been hot, a lot nicer than the week before that was cold and below seasonal. I'm starting to really enjoy the warm weather. I don't know about you guys. It's pretty exciting that we're only 2 weeks away from the start of summer. Can you believe that? That time is flying. I'm sure some of you have already planned to go to the pool or to the cottage or the lake or even to the beach this summer. Maybe you're actually planning to even go before the summer starts. I know they were saying on the radio that the pools are opening up this week and the kids' play areas. So I'm sure some of you are going to want to go out and cool off when it's hot. I know for me and my wife, we're usually already kayaking by now, but we haven't been able to go out the last few weekends, but we're going to try over the next couple to go out. But it's really awesome to be able to just go out over these next few months, over the summer, and enjoy God's creation. And we must also remember, though, when we go out and enjoy the beauty that God has created, there are also dangers that lurk always around us that are associated with summer fun, even. Like being on a boat, you know, you're supposed to wear your life jackets, or when you're swimming, there's always potential danger that is around us. Now, because of that danger, as you're enjoying your time with family and with friends at the beach or at the pool, you're going to notice a person that stands out from the rest of everybody else. This person is a lot more serious than all the people joking and having fun around you. This individual is called a lifeguard. Each is assigned to a section of water, whether it's at the beach or whether it's at the pool. You'll always see them there. Either they're walking around, pacing back and forth, looking, scanning the waters. The ones that I usually see when we're at the beach is usually they're sitting up on a high chair. And the reason for that is they want to be above everybody else so that they're able to see the people that are below them. They're able to see the view of the water unobstructed. They are on a constant lookout for weak swimmers, someone that's in distress. They're always there to stop dangerous behavior. If you're ever at a pool, you see kids horse playing, what happens? They blow the whistle, stop right there. Kids have to stop or else someone might get hurt or even drown. And speaking of drowning, I remember myself when I was 5 years old, our family had gone to Portugal for vacation, and this was my first time in the ocean. I had gone to the beaches here, but the beaches here are not like the ocean with the big waves. And there, for the first time, I had been able to go into the water, but the problem is I was small, so I had to wear these water wings. And these water wings kept my arms up like this. It felt so uncomfortable, and I hated it. I remember being there, and I saw all my cousins in the ocean jumping over the waves as they came. And I would get so upset, I would start to cry. And finally, I convinced my mom to take them off. And then all of a sudden, I was able to be with my cousins in the waves. I had freedom. And for the first time, I was excited that I could be just like the grown-ups. And then all of a sudden, here comes the first wave. And would you guess? I timed it completely wrong. I went to jump. I jumped too early. I came down. That wave hit me so hard. And I went under, and I got pulled under, and honestly, I started choking. I started feeling like I was drowning, like I was dying. And it felt like I was underwater forever. And then all of a sudden, I just feel this hand come up and pull me by my hair and lifts me right out of the water, and it was my cousin who was watching over me because my mom said, okay, I'm going to take these water wings off of you, but you guys are responsible for it. So it was my cousin who actually pulled me out. And I was lucky that he wasn't distracted by all the fun that they were having, that he was actually watching out for me. And that's why you don't see the lifeguards along the pools and along the beaches. They're not sitting there on their cell phones. They're not sitting there Googling or talking to their friends. They're not sitting there taking a nap in the shade, hiding from the sun. They are never distracted. And although they might walk and talk to people, they're constantly, continuously looking around for someone in struggle. Even if you come up to them and ask them for a question, they'll answer your question, but they're always looking around. They're very serious about their job. They're trained. Their bodies, they've been training them for a long time. Their minds are trained to deal with anything that happens. They are excellent swimmers. They're trained to have endurance, to be able to swim out far and to come back. They're able to pull heavy bodies through the water. They have been trained and they have been certified in first aid to literally, if someone is choking or dying, they can try to resuscitate them and bring them back to life. This isn't a job that just anybody can do. You can't just say, well, I feel like saving a life today. I'm going to go down to the beach and see if anyone's drowning. But as a swimmer, I know that I feel a lot safer knowing that these lifeguards are actually watching over us. And likewise, as a follower of Christ, in our Christian walk, Jesus is our true lifeguard. He watches over us constantly. He never takes his eyes off of us. Scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to give strong support to those whose hearts are blameless towards him." Like the lifeguards we see at the beach or at the pool, God is constantly scanning the earth and watching over us for those he loves. God understands that we have a need for protection. And the Old Testament is full of examples of these spiritual lifeguards that were put in place. The Bible tells us of the gatekeepers of the tabernacle who were part of the Leviticus priesthood. And they served actually in shifts 7 days a week, guarding the temple and its vessels. The Bible also tells us that there was gatekeepers all around Israel's entrances throughout the camp. And at the king's gate, especially, there was always gatekeepers there. Nehemiah actually noted in Scripture that there were 284 Levites and 172 gatekeepers during his time. So I would say those people watching over Israel were pretty important and were needed in that time. See, friends, God knows that we need to be watched over in our lives. When we accept his son Jesus into our lives, we invite the ultimate lifeguard to sit on that high chair, overseeing our safety, overseeing our every step. Psalms 121, 5-8 tells us that the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. It says that the sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night, that the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So it's not just the moment you give your life to Christ. As soon as you accept him, it's forevermore. God promises to be our lifeguard, our protector, when we put our trust in him. And when we accept Jesus to come into our lives, to take control of our lives, when we give him the wheel, when we say, Jesus, take that wheel. One of my favorite verses of God's promises to us is in Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Friends, for some of you here today, the waters of your life might be feeling really, really deep right now. You may be feeling like you're actually drowning in your situations. But I tell you that Jesus is the perfect lifeguard for whatever you're going through. There are no waters that he cannot swim in or even walk on, for that matter. He can handle any situation you find yourself in, no matter how deep those waters might be or how big your problems might feel in front of you. He loves you so much, and he promises always to be with you in every single step you take. He has patience even in our weaknesses. He is by our side in everything we face. And he promises in Scripture, throughout Scripture, that he will carry us through everything, always. There is a moment in Scripture when Jesus, our lifeguard, actually shows us just how much he loves us and will always be with us. He will always watch over us, even in the middle of any storm. And it actually takes place just after Jesus feeds the 5,000. In Matthew chapter 14, 22-33, I'm sure many of you heard this story before, says, immediately after Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away, and he had gone and he sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. He went and took some time to himself. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In some verse it says, or against them. The wind was against them. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They were afraid. They thought that they saw a ghost, and they actually cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. He calmed them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come out, down and out of the boat and onto the water, he actually started walking to Jesus. His faith was so strong in Christ that all he saw was Jesus. Everything else around him did not bother him until the wind became boisterous, and he started to look around. He started to become afraid. He started to see what was around him, what his situation was. He started to realize that he was now walking on water, and he was in danger. He started sinking because he took his eyesight off of Christ. And he started to cry out, "Save me, Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, and he caught him. And he said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Friends, this is a great example of Christ's sovereign dominion over all of creation, including water. When Jesus actually walks on the water, it shows us his true power over all the earth. There is nothing that is not under the feet of Christ. The lifeguard sees you, friends. His eyes are focused on you. And you don't have to be in the deep waters. You don't have to be going down in that moment like Peter was to ask him for help. Cry out to him today, and he will answer you, I promise. He promises to always be with you. He promises to be there every step you take. It doesn't matter what you've done in life. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you've sinned, who you've hurt. That doesn't matter. God forgives you for what you have done, for how broken we have all been. We have all hurt somebody. We've all been hurt, but we have all hurt someone. None of us are innocent. But God looks past our weaknesses, and he actually uses our weaknesses for his good, for his kingdom, to glorify him. It doesn't matter what you've done in life, friends. David tells us in Psalms 18:6, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears." There is nowhere you can be on this earth that God will not hear your cries, that God will not see your pain or what you're going through. And he promises to always be with you. God is listening, and he is looking out for those he loves, so much so that he sent his only son to save us, to redeem us. Friends, it's important for us to understand what Jesus did for us that day on Calvary. The cross was Jesus showing us how much he loves us. He is our Savior. And with the cross, Jesus jumped right into the midst of a sinful humanity. He jumped right in the middle of it, and he pulled you out of it. He pulled you into an everlasting relationship with him. And the fact that we are going to be in heaven with him and our Father, because of everything he did for us, because of how much he loved you, because of where he saw you, he didn't care where you were. He didn't judge where you were in your life in this moment. And we are all in different places. But he doesn't see that. What he sees is your heart. And if you have a heart for him, he will always be with you. If you choose Jesus in your life today, he will never leave you. It's not about being perfect, church. It's not, we don't deserve it. We know that. But the fact that God loves you so much more than everything else he created, that's amazing. The Apostle Paul explains it in his letter to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. He says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were all condemned, friends. We all had a place that we were headed. But God, who richly in mercy, because of his great love for all of us, each and every one of you here today, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace, we have all been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." That's amazing. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of our works, so that none of us can boast." So none of us can sit here and say, "Look what I did today. Look what I did yesterday." Look what Jesus did through you. Look what Jesus did through us. That is what we're called to do. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We were all created to walk in his works. Not by the power of this world, not by the prince of the air, as scripture says, but by God's works. He laid down his life for us so that we could pass from this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And as his church, we are called to go out. We are called to represent his kingdom here on earth. Friends, we are called to be his earthly lifeguards. Jesus called his followers to go out. Matthew 28, 18 to 19 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" I need everyone to realize that we need spiritual lifeguards. We need people who are ready to lead, to rescue, to warn, and to bring the lost back home. Without them, we are at the mercy of a broken world. And Jonathan knows, we were out yesterday and we saw someone who was part of a church and somehow slipped through the cracks. We are called to find those people, to bring those lost sheep back home. Just like a lifeguard at the ocean, spiritual lifeguards are also watching out for imminent danger. Those that are obvious, that are right in front of us, but also those dangers that are unforeseen, those ones that, like the riptides, you don't notice, but they're under the water and they're going to pull you under. As believers, here's the thing. As believers, we often overestimate our own abilities to withstand temptation. Sometimes we think because we have Christ in us that we're not going to be tempted anymore. And we need people around us that are warning us, that are helping us, that are concerned for our safety and the potential threats of sin in our lives, in our midst. Just like an inexperienced swimmer pulled under by the riptides or the waves because they didn't want to wear their water wings like I did. So it's important that spiritual lifeguards are raised up, trained, prepared for what's coming, because they need to notice the conditions of those that are around us, and they need to be ready to step in, to help, to pull someone out from that water. And it's not always easy, because a spiritual drowning can happen so suddenly and so silently, just like a real one. Because of this, Jesus actually warns us to always be on guard. In Luke 21, 34 to 36, he says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with the carousing, the drunkenness, the cares of this life, and that day can come upon you unexpectedly, like a drowning, instantly." Where you think one day my life's good, I got lots of time to come to Christ. Do we? I'm sure that person that drowned probably thought that they were going to make it home. They didn't realize that that was the end. "For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." We are not immune to the temptations of the devil. We are not immune, but God gives us the tools when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives to fight it off. He gives us the tools, the armor of God to protect us. "Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." This is our goal in the end days, that we can stand before God, stand before Christ, and he will say, "Good and faithful servant." Friends, Jesus does not want any one of us to perish. So Jesus looks to his church, all of us here on earth, to be those spiritual lifeguards for this lost world. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John 3:16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." We are called to be spiritual lifeguards of all those that are around us, for our friends, for our families, our co-workers, for our fellow students. As we go out into the world, we are called to keep a watchful eye, to tell those about Jesus Christ, to help save people from drowning in this lost world. We have so many people in our lives right now that are in the midst of drowning and are in a desperate need for the truth. Maybe even here today, in this room, or somebody watching online, there is someone who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ into their lives. There might be someone here today who needs to accept Jesus this moment into your life. And I tell you, the most important relationship for everyone here is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to choose to believe that he is the one he claims to be, the Son of God, and the only way to salvation. And we need to receive him by faith. As our Lord and as our Savior, it is one of the most important and vital acts that you will ever do, that choice that you make today. It doesn't matter, as I said, about your past. It doesn't matter about your weaknesses. Jesus is offering you salvation. If you want to have a new life, he is life. If we need cleansing, he is the living waters, friends. Many people have tried to be like him, but there is none like him. So I encourage you to choose Jesus today. I tell you, I was lost. I was broken, and I was headed into the abyss until I gave my life to Christ, and he turned it all around. And I encourage you today, if you haven't chosen Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do so. And I'm going to say a prayer today for those, anyone here who hasn't prayed this prayer or online. I just want you to pray this in your heart with me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death and to restore me to a personal relationship with my Father. I choose now to turn from my sins, from my self-centeredness, and from every part of my life that does not please you, God. Today I choose you. I give my life to you. I receive your forgiveness and ask you to take your rightful place in my life as my Savior and my Lord. Come reign in my heart. Fill me with your love and your life and help me to become a person who is truly loving, a person who is like you, Jesus. Less of me and more of you. Restore me, Jesus. Live in me. Love through me. Thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.